Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad. It's January 19th. It's a bright, sunny day in Atlanta. I've got Sam Grass and Lee Cantor in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Brad. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. How did you handle the snowpocalypse of last week?
That's a good way to put it. Boy, it was ugly.
For those in Atlanta, they absolutely know what we mean, but those outside of Atlanta might think that we're a little bit of sissies here in the South.
There was nothing sissy about that, and I know Dallas is well familiar with ice. So, amazingly, here we are, what, 10 days later, and there's still some snow on the ground. Yeah. I don't remember that in the 15 years I've lived here.
Right. I agree. That's a first for me, too.
Well, we got a full show this morning. We have with us in the studio in Atlanta, Karen McIntyre from Veterans Information Services. And in Dallas, a full house at Town Village North. We have Kevin Ritz hosting with Carolyn Sorensen, Terry Locke, and Tracy Bruce. And I'm going to turn it over to y'all to take it away. Kevin?
All right. Thanks, Brad. With me today is Carolyn Sorensen. She is the Executive Director of Town Village North. Carolyn, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, where you're from, maybe where you went to school, and how you got to your current position here at Town Village North.
I am a gerontologist. I studied at the University of North Texas in response to a personal need with one of my family members. And so it brings me great joy to be able to participate with our older adults at Town Village North Dallas every day.
All right, great. And Terry, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you got to be in your position here?
I am the sales and marketing director here, and my background is a little more diverse than Carolyn's because I've lived in a multitude of states, but most of my education was done in Illinois, Northern Illinois University, with an undergraduate degree in political science, and then at University of Indiana with a master's degree in counseling. And the majority of my work, the first 22 years of my professional life, was done in nonprofit management, working mostly with families and children, and then reached a point where I needed a career change and accidentally fell into working with older adults, and this just feels like home. And so that's what's led me to doing what I'm doing now.
All right, excellent. And Tracy, what about you?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and graduated with an undergrad degree in social work from the University of Texas at Arlington, and proceeded to work with several nonprofits, and then moved on to work with a marketing agency where the agency was hired to plan a senior expo. So I started meeting some great people that worked in the senior industry and kind of fell into it that way.
All right. Thank you. Carolyn, why don't you tell us a little bit about Town Village North, the services you offer, and what kind of sets you apart from the other communities?
Town Village North Dallas is right at the intersections of 75 and 635. We're a large independent living community, retirement community. You might know that term. We have so many options for seniors as we keep them independent to their lifestyles. We have a variety of health-related services as well to support the needs that they have as they age. But the most important thing is that we try to provide exceptional experiences every day for the seniors that live in our community. Our socialization programs are, without being a little too prideful, are some of the best I've ever been participating with as an executive director. Very proud of the men and women who work with us here who deliberately choose every day to find a way to support the life of an older adult. So Town Village North Dallas stands alone in that effort, I believe.
All right. And Tracy, we were talking earlier about some of the exciting things that Town Village North does to be involved in the community. And in particular, you mentioned the hot chocolate run that you just did last weekend. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and your involvement there?
Sure. Run-On, along with the Addison Midday Rotary, produced the Addison Hot Chocolate Run, which was just last weekend. It was a 5K and 10K. And at Town Village North Dallas, we pride ourselves on supporting the community. And so we were sponsors of that run where they had more than 1,200 runners. And then the money from that run go to support a new elementary school that is opening up this fall in Addison. And then the other part of the money goes towards Addison Midday Rotary Charities, which go to help victims of polio purchase wheelchairs. So we're proud that we can be a part of helping that cause.
Yeah, that's excellent. And we've had people on before from Brookdale, and they mentioned the Ultimate Chef. And Carolyn, why don't you talk to us a little bit about that is how that is a part of the community as well.
Well, Brookdale is very well known in the industry for the type of dining services that we provide. We have a large organization there with a beautiful dining area, selections every day that are vital to support the health and nutrition of an older adult. And not only that, but they look good and taste good. Our dining service staff are trained in customer service to deliver the very best that they can in creating the type of dining experience that an older adult enjoys, or any person enjoys for that matter. We enjoy as professionals to be in our dining room as well. We also feel that the ambiance of this environment creates a continuation of the lifestyle that they have enjoyed in the past, and that is one of the successes of Town Village North Dallas. With that, our Ultimate Chef was produced and directed by our national team, and we were able to invite close to 600 people to our event. We had many chefs from around our other communities who participated, guests from all over the Dallas area, and provided a competition where they were able to define their talents and were given an opportunity to show their skills. So we had a lot of fun, lots of music, lots of tasting, excellent desserts, beautiful surroundings, and a lot of enjoyment. And our chef that won actually comes from a community that we have in Arlington. And so we're very proud of Don and for his success and for the contribution that he makes every day.
Kevin.
All right.
Kevin.
So,
Kevin.
Obviously, diet is very important to seniors. What are some of the things you do to facilitate some of the special diets, whether it's a diabetic diet or maybe a low cholesterol? What are some of the things that you do to help facilitate those needs?
Our menu design is specifically for that purpose. So we have a way to be able to adjust our recipes. They're written specifically for Brookdale Senior Living, and they are monitored very carefully by our associates in our dining service department. Our chef and our sous chef and our dining service manager are responsible to create that menu every day from the recipes that we have that our dining service national team have put together for us specifically for continued support of the nutrition that is necessary. We take lots of medicines as we get older sometimes, and we need to have the nutritional support to make that medicine work. So we have some really awesome recipes that I know that all of you would like to try if you came to Town Village North Dallas, and we'd love to invite you here.
All right. Terry, I know that you've been doing this for some time now, and I'm sure that you have no shortage of stories about how you've really impacted somebody's life or rewarding experience. Can you share one of those and really what you found to be the most rewarding about that particular case?
I can, Kevin, but the first thing I want to do is I want to kind of mirror what both Tracy and Carolyn have talked about with the activities that we're involved in the community and how we try to involve our seniors. One of the things that Brookdale really promotes is optimum life, and within that optimum life theory or focus, we try to cover all of the areas in a senior's life that's important to them. And so we're very resident-driven. We want our residents to express their ideas and their things that they want Town Village North Dallas to be involved in. So we're very individualized from that perspective as well, which really gives them a feeling of satisfaction. And thinking about one story to tell you. I really struggled with that because there are so many. So one of the things that I guess what I would like to say is that one of the things that Town Village North Dallas does very, very well is we meet the needs of the families as they come in here. We have several families who come to us and say, my loved one is moving in from California or they're moving in from another community. How can you serve their needs? How can they begin to feel a part of this community? How can they feel like this is home to them? And I think that Carolyn's already alluded to the fact that we have a wonderful team here, and that is where we stand out as a community. We have a fabulous team of directors who oversee a wonderful staff that provide for them a home environment that meets their individual needs. And so is there one story? Yes, but they all have a story. You know, they all came in here with a need or a concern, whether it was the concern of the resident moving in or whether it was the concern of the daughter or the son or the grandchild. They all have a story, and I'm proud to say that our team pulled together to meet the needs of all of them. So that's, to pick one would be just too difficult. So
Sure. What, Tracy, you're in business development. What do you find most rewarding about what you do when you're out in the community and getting involved with everything?
Well, I enjoy visiting churches and physicians groups and any type of networking group I go to because, well, for a variety of reasons, but I really like helping other people connect and helping them find different resources for their patients and their clients. So I find that to be the most rewarding part.
Sure. And what about you, Carolyn? As the executive director, I'm sure you have no shortage of rewarding experiences, but what is, if you could pinpoint one thing as the executive director, what do you find most rewarding?
My day-to-day interaction with residents. I take time every day to visit with someone, either in their apartment home or in the dining room or wherever they might be. That is the biggest joy to me, is being able to visit with them and see how things are going, if they're comfortable, do they need something that they haven't requested recently. And I really believe that the more interaction an older adult has on a day-to-day basis, connecting them with what is available to them, whether family's visiting or not, gives them a sense of inclusion and a sense of pride in their own home and a desire to be able to do that very same thing to someone else who might be new in our community. So for me, it's a very important thing. And our residents are very open and accepting and work very hard to create an environment of home for themselves as well, because as independent living, that's what they need to do. They need to choose their day, the way they want to do the day, and we're kind of their support team trying to facilitate those types of things for them. So it's very important to me that I have time with them every day in one sense or another, either in an activity or in a one-on-one meeting or as a group.
If you had one piece of advice to give to a senior or a loved one or somebody involved with taking care of a senior, what would that piece of advice be?
My advice would be to respect the person and the choices that they want to make. All of us have parents. All of us have had aunts and uncles or grandparents who have needed additional support. And I find that the most tragic part of the work that we do is when children usurp the opportunity to tell mom and dad what to do. Sometimes that's important. Sometimes it has to be. But for the majority of the time, an older adult can still make very good, rational decisions and need to be respected for the choices that they want to make in their own life. So that means we have to start early in our lives to know what their choices will be when they become older, and then allow them to have those choices as best as we can.
Yeah, that's such a great piece of advice. Terry, if our listeners want to get in touch with Town Village North coming for a tour, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? And
our number here at Town Village North is 972-866-7575, and you can ask for Terry, and I'd be glad to set you up on a visit and have you come take a look at our great community. You can also look at the Brookdale Living website And we have several communities that they can explore in the area, including Town Village North Dallas, and that will give them an opportunity to kind of see pictures and read a little bit more about us.
All right. Well, I really appreciate the time you took with us today, and I'm going to throw back to Atlanta and Sam and Brad.
Kevin, I'd like to make a statement about the Brookdale communities. Carolyn, I was personally involved in the competition, the chef competition here in Atlanta, and I will say this about Brookdale. If they operate on a day-to-day basis at the level that they put this competition on, it has to be a superb organization. I commend them, and I look forward to working with the Brookdale communities in the future.
Thank you very much. I know that it was.
We thank Carolyn. We thank Terry and Tracy. Thanks for being on our show. Great information.
Thank you.
Joining us today in Atlanta is Karen McIntyre. Karen has a unique accreditation. She is a VA accredited agent. My understanding that there's only several hundred in the nation, and she is associated with Veterans Information Services. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
Why don't you begin by telling us, first of all, a little bit about yourself, where you're from. How did you get into and be with Veterans Information Services? And then tell us a little bit about the accreditation and start there, and we'll take it and run with it.
Okay. Well, originally I'm from Tampa, Florida, but I've been in Atlanta for 40 years, so this is home.
You are a native at that
yes,
point.
Yes, this is home. I'm a registered nurse, and I have an associate degree in nursing, and I have a bachelor's degree in communication and minor management, and I have a marketing background as well. And I have done the hospital nursing, and from hospital nursing, I went into home health. And while I was in home health, I quickly learned that what families were going through, trying to keep their loved ones at home, and the struggles they were going through financially as well as emotionally and physically, trying to take care of family members at home. And this was back in the 90s. And at that time, there was nothing available for families in Georgia as far as a care management company mm-hmm. that was free for families. And I was struggling. I wanted something where I could help families find placement for their loved ones mm-hmm. in assisted living, but I didn't want to charge a family member. So I knew that there were free placement services in California and in Florida, and so I said, well, I wanted to bring that concept here to Georgia. So I went door to door to door and talked to the assisted living facilities and said, hey, if I bring somebody to you, will you pay me a fee? And they said, well, we never heard of that, but okay. So we built it up and paved the way for other companies, and we started the first placement service. It was called Assisted Senior Placement Services. Mm-hmm. And we were more on a management side, too. We would help people with whatever their needs were. Instead of just placement, we would also help them find attorneys, find doctors, whatever they needed. Well, all of a sudden, we had a group of widows, and they were living on Social Security, did not have the money to move into assisted living.
Right.
And I literally was praying. I said, there's got to be money. Where is it? And, you know, we were just looking for money for them to move into homes. And their loved ones couldn't take care of them. They had nobody. And I started networking, and I heard about a VA, a veteran service organization mm-hmm. rep up in Canton, Georgia, and I became friends with her, and she explained the VA benefits to me, and I learned how to do VA for my clients and got the money, you know, did their applications, and at that time, you know, the law was more lenient than it is now, and the rules and regulations were, and so that's how I got involved with VA, and before I knew it, we were actually in 38 states doing applications throughout the country. I had been involved with almost 1,000 claims, and then the rules and regulations changed, and we had to change our business, and That's how our new company came to be.
Let me interrupt there. I spoke with you and was with you in an earlier seminar, and you told a story about the VA coming to you and saying, we're changing the rules because you're getting too many of these cases approved. Elaborate up on that.
Well, that's not what they said.
No, they were diplomatic about it.
Well, what they were doing, you know, the bottom line is the law states that you do have to be an accredited agent mm-hmm. to do applications. Only certain people can assist with a VA claim. And that person, there's only five groups. It has to be an accredited attorney, an accredited agent, a Veterans Service Organization rep, the VA, or an individual can mm-hmm. assist one person one time in their lifetime. And so that was always in the law, but we had actually permission to do these the way we were doing. We were never acting in our line of thinking, in our attorney's line of thinking. We were never acting as an agent because mm-hmm. we were using the American Legion, and we had permission to do that throughout the country. So, but the bottom line is, they were also at that time, we were at that time allowed to charge assisted living facilities to do the paperwork. Right. And they reinterpreted the law and said assisted livings now cannot pay to mm-hmm. anyone for someone to do the work, because now they're considered an interested third party. So when they did that, that took away our revenue source. Mm-hmm. You know, families have never been able to pay because that's always been against the law.
And this is actually new to me. So I'm assuming that if it's a conflict of interest for an assisted living facility to pay, it would also be a conflict of interest for a home care company to pay.
That's exactly right. Yes. See, it's always been against the law for the claimant, the veteran or the widow, to pay, or any of their immediate loved ones. They have never been allowed to pay. But the assisted livings up until 2007 were not defined as an interested third party. So the way the interpretation is now, and they defined it in actually my accreditation letter, they defined it then, is that anyone with a financial interest in the outcome of the claim is now considered an interested third party.
And this is as of 2007
yes.
or more recent than that?
No, 2007.
And that new interpretation of the law, so to uh-huh. speak, led you to kind of a slightly different path, which I believe is what you do now. So
yes.
tell us about Veterans Information Services and what you do now.
Yeah. Well, what we ended up doing, you know, it's the old saying, those who can't do, teach. When I found out we could no longer do the applications because I was not accredited at the time, we had to rethink, well, what could we do? And the Office of General Counsel, that is the governing agency of the VA in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I spoke with them at length and about, well, what can we do, what we cannot do, because we definitely wanted to stay within the law. And we said, well, we could talk. We could educate. You know, no one holds patent on education. So we created a computer software program called VisPro. And VisPro, we only sell it to professionals at this time. We do not sell it to private individuals, the public. We sell it to attorneys and financial advisors, to home care services. Assisted livings buy it. They put it in their libraries, and their families check it out. And what VisPro does is it has all of the VA application forms with pop-up help boxes, mm-hmm. and it tells them, the user, exactly what the questions are asking so that they can't make a mistake in answering the questions. And it makes all the two problems that people have in filling out an application is, number one, they don't know what forms to get. You can't go to the VA website and say, give me the forms for pension claim. Mm-hmm. You have to know the numbers.
Okay.
And some of the forms don't even exist on the site anyway. And the second problem is, once you have the forms, there's no instructions for each question. So VisPro eliminates that. It's a how-to-do, step-by-step program.
It sounds not VISPRO, but the way the Veterans Administration has it set up, that it's an effective government-run organization.
Yeah. Think,
yeah. Okay.
Careful.
I know. Okay, so we know that that you have this software for those accredited individuals, i.e. attorneys mm-hmm. and agents and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There's another component of what you currently do, and that's seminars. And
yes.
So tell us about that and who you speak to and what's the material that's presented.
Well, I do a series of webinars via the we use GoToMeeting, if I may say that. I already did.
Absolutely.
Okay, we use GoToMeeting, and we do a series of webinars. The webinars, you do not have to have the software to take the webinars. We have a lot of people who just want to learn about VA, and they take it. We have assisted living directors who take them because they want to educate their staff on VA webinars, on VA benefits. But the webinars, two of my programs are approved by the Georgia State Bar,
mm-hmm.
and offer the accreditation hours for attorneys and agents so that they can maintain their accreditation through the Office of General Counsel in Washington, because we have to keep up with our accreditation hours.
Sure.
But I have advanced VA, a 17-hour series that is advanced VA. It covers Department of Defense benefits. I cover everything but home loans and educational benefits.
Okay.
Everything else, service-connected, pension benefits, everything. And then I travel. I travel all. I'll go anywhere I can get an invitation to talk about VA.
Okay. Now, with that being said, we've spoken about who you are. We've talked a little bit about your organization. You told me walking in here you wanted to mention something else about changes and upcoming benefits. So why don't you take that ball and run with it?
Oh, okay. Well, it's a lot of there's some new things happening right now with Vietnam for Vietnam veterans. And there are three new presumptive conditions for Vietnam, and a lot of our Vietnam veterans are not aware of this. Now, with a service-connected condition, that service-connected means that the condition that the veteran has is directly related or indirectly related to military service. And typically, the veteran or the widow, in the case if the veteran is deceased, has to show a connection or what they call a nexus, a connection between the service and the condition. But there are some conditions that are presumed to be automatically caused by service if they served in a certain area. Well, some of these, Vietnam is one case where if a veteran served in Vietnam, had his boot on the ground, or he served in certain ships in the vicinity of Vietnam or in Vietnam, and he gets diabetes type 2, certain cancers, Parkinson's disease has been recently added, ischemic heart condition, hairy cell leukemia is a new one, and there are other diseases, then it is presumed that they were caused by his military service and because of exposure to Agent Orange. And the new ones are, as I said, Parkinson's, ischemic heart condition, and hairy cell leukemia. Well, the thing that is really very new right now is that there were claims, there's a what the VA is doing right now, and I give real kudos to the VA on this because they are really working hard on these claims, is they are going back under a class action a claim that's called NAHMER, N-E-H-M-E-R, and they are looking at thousands and thousands of these past claims so that it is possible for someone who filed a claim back in the late 80s, let's say, whose claim was denied for heart condition or Parkinson's, now because the law has changed and now they are presumed to go back and have that claim reopened and get retroactive benefits.
Now, let's clarify. There's two issues I want to clarify. First of all, This, is it a new law or is it a reinterpretation of the old law? First clarification. And second, can these people who have these conditions, is this process in order today as we speak?
Yes. Okay. What happened is the conditions were just made presumptive recently. They were just put in as a presumptive conditions where they are now saying, okay, they are presumed to have been caused by Agent Orange if you served in Vietnam at a certain time, in Vietnam or boot on the ground, or you served on certain ships.
Okay.
So you have to meet certain criteria.
Right.
But so that is new. But see, what happened is years and years ago, people filed these claims for those conditions, but because they weren't in law, the claims were denied. So now they can go back under NAMER and have them reopened. And that is very important.
I'd like to make just another clarification here, because a lot of times when people think of VA benefits, at least in the senior community, we're interpreting that as aid and attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is a much broader selection of benefits that, you know, in this case, service-connected benefits.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked, because the Vietnam benefits I'm talking about are service-connected. The ones that you were talking about are non-service connected. There are two kinds of benefits. There's non-service connected pension benefits, and don't confuse it with military retirement. Military retirement is paid from the Department of Defense, and it is taxable income, whereas VA non-service connected pension is non-taxable income paid from the VA. And a veteran or a widow can have both military retirement and VA pension. Now, non-service-connected VA pension, which you think of with having aid and attendance, is what most people in assisted living go after. It is a needs-based benefit for wartime veterans and their eligible surviving dependents, which would be a dependent child or a dependent surviving spouse. But it is needs-based, so it does have a financial criteria. Now, here's the thing that is really, to me, very frightening. There, as of April of last year, there were 23 million veterans. This was statistics, right? Out of the 23 million, only 300 and some odd thousand were getting pension benefits. Now, my question is, why so few?
Now again, clarify, pension benefits, but you're talking about VA,
VA
pension, not the Department of Defense.
Right.
See, I never knew that distinction until you just said it. And I've been doing, this has got to be a half dozen of these shows that we've done. That's
yeah.
a great distinction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is that, and it's not because they don't all qualify. It's because they don't all know about it. These pension benefits have been around since the 1950s, but people just don't know about it. Now, thankfully, the word is getting out there, and the VA is responsible for that also. The VA is working very hard also in trying to get the word out. I mean, let's give them some credit here. But the problem is the forms are very complicated. It is very hard for the average person to apply for benefits on their own and get them, because it is a complicated process. The paperwork is very confusing. And a question as simple as what is the veteran's name can have a claim denied, because you could put down Robert Smith and have the claim denied because the veteran is listed as Robert L. Smith Jr. in the
right.
discharge papers.
Right. I don't even know. Let me gather my thoughts here. If we have someone who wants to pursue these benefits, I know that you and your company and organization has somewhat evolved out of the actual claims process. How can an individual go about who doesn't understand, who is confused? How do they start this, Judy? I mean, excuse me, Karen. Tell me mm-hmm. how they go down the road there.
Well, anyone can go to the VA website at www.va.gov, G-O-V, And you can Google through the website and find your state VA regional office. Mm-hmm. And you can call the 1-800 number. I tell everybody, go to the bathroom and get a drink of water before you make the call and work your way to a live human being. Now, but you can, the 800 number is 1-800-827-1000. Mm-hmm. And that will route you to your state VA regional office. Now, the problem is when you call a lot of the state regional offices, the conversation will go like this. Hi, my mother is a widow of a veteran, and I understand there's pension benefits, aid and attendance benefits. Now, first of all, aid and attendance is not a pension. It's additional money tacked on to the base pension.
There you go.
So they're going to say, well, how much money does mom have? Well, mom's got $100,000, all right? Well, they're going to say, I'm sorry, she doesn't qualify. They're not going to consider the fact, they're not going to tell you that, well, you know, with some planning, she might qualify. The other thing is they're going to say, well, how much Social Security and money does she have coming in? And you tell them, well, mom's got $15,000 in money coming in every month. They're going to say, well, she doesn't qualify. They're not going to consider that her medical expenses, including the full cost of assisted living, is deducted off her income, which gives her a zero income.
Okay, now I got to clarify again. I have been taught that these aid and attendance is a means-based benefit. And I've heard you just said that's not true. It's a need-based benefit. It's needs-based. So even though the veteran has assets and even though the veteran has income at a certain level, whatever that may be, the cost of their needs might offset the assets and income so that they do qualify for this. Is that correct?
The amount that a person can have for non-service-connected pension, you hear all the time, oh, well, there's an asset cap of $80,000 or there's $50,000. I had I run a listserv with over 450 attorneys and financial advisors right now. And I had one of them email me the other day, and a veteran service organization told him there was an asset cap of $23,600-and-some-odd. And I started laughing. I thought, where did he get that number? There is no asset cap anymore. There never has been. How much a person can have is dependent upon their total household gross income, their total household unreimbursed medical, what they're paying out of pocket for, and that includes the cost of assisted living if they're in need of aid and attendance.
Right.
And it also is dependent upon their life expectancy. So an 80-year-old cannot have as much as a 60-year-old, you see. So you could have someone with be denied with $30,000, and you can have someone with over $100,000 be eligible.
Right.
Karen, what would you say the odds are for a person that is not going to get any help? They're just going to randomly go in there and then battle on their own to try to get the most they can get. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would be their odds of getting a good amount of the aid that they're eligible for?
Oh, gosh. You're asking me something that my gut feeling?
Yeah.
If they go in on their own and they don't have as much, proverbial pot to you-know-what in,
right.
Then they got a very good chance of getting the pension. If they go in and they've got assets over, I'd say, over $50,000.
But it's not because of the assets, because they don't know how to
Okay, so they don't know how to, they don't.
Right, they're they're going in there, doing the best they can, answering questions as if, they're just a normal person answering questions.
Uh-huh. 50-50? I don't know.
Well, obviously.
I mean, it's a hard question to answer. It really is.
But the odds increase dramatically if they work with a firm like yours.
Well, they don't have to work with they don't have to have an attorney. They don't have to have an agent. I mean, there are a lot of free services. The VA, if you know, you've got a lot of veteran service organizations that will help someone free of charge. The American Legions, the Veteran Foreign Wars, the VFWs, the Disabled American Vets, your State Department of Veterans Services. In Georgia here, we have wonderful veterans, State Department of Veterans Service reps. I mean, they are fantastic here in Georgia. Now, the problem is, and they will do this and help them free of charge. They cannot charge anyone. So I would urge families to go seek these people out. Now, if they, the person does have assets, my rule of thumb, when I have a client, now I don't give financial advice, I do not give legal advice, but I tell my clients, if you are over, if you have assets over $50,000, I tell my clients, I would at least ask you to think about talking with an elder law attorney, someone who understands Medicaid and someone who understands VA, who is VA accredited as well. Now, I would say, please think about talking with one of them.
I think the point that Lee was trying to make is that going into this process unassisted is difficult and complex, and your odds of success in getting aid go up dramatically when you seek advice from somebody.
Exactly. It is. You know, I couldn't give a true percentage, but it is. It is difficult. You know, without some sort of tool, whether or not it's a software, whether or not it is, you know, a free person like a veteran service organization, an attorney, someone who's accredited. But here's the thing, I must caution everyone, and I tell everyone, if you forget everything I tell you, you know, no one should ever move assets around without talking to an elder law attorney, or even putting someone else's name on their account without talking to an elder law attorney, because you can seriously jeopardize Medicaid if you don't get professional advice, and you don't want to be doing that and jeopardizing one benefit to get another. And the other thing, too, is no one can ever charge you to fill out an application. It is against the law, and nobody can ever charge a family to fill out an application or help them with a VA claim. The only time you can do that, be charged, is if the claim has already been filed and denied, and then you're in the appeals.
Karen, obviously you have a level of expertise that that I'm thrilled with. What is it that you find on a day-to-day basis that's so rewarding about what you're doing?
Oh, helping our deserving vets and widows get this money. They deserve it. I mean, the veterans served our country. The widows stayed home and did, you know, and it doesn't matter if the veteran fought or didn't fight. He still served our country, or she served our country. They were away from home. Their families did without them for whatever time, and they deserve this.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say it doesn't matter why they served. It doesn't matter whether they did it willingly or they were forced.
No.
They served.
Exactly.
They served you. They served me. They served our children. And they were, in their efforts, they helped preserve the freedoms that we have. Mm-hmm. Again, doesn't matter whether it was willingly or not.
Oh,
they did
absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid you've already answered this, but I need to ask it anyway. At this high level, if we have veterans out there that are just overwhelmed with all this information, what piece of advice could you give them as they get started?
Don't give up. You know, honest to goodness, if you file a claim, and for whatever the benefit is you're filing, and you get a denial from the VA, and the VA says your claim is denied, do not give up. Don't take the first denial, or the second denial is gospel. You know, you take it, and you take it to a veteran service organization. Here's the problem we have with a lot of our, it's like any other profession. There are good nurses, there are bad nurses. There's good lawyers, there's bad lawyers. There's good everything, there's bad everything. And unfortunately, we have some VSOs, veteran service organizations, who know their stuff, and some that don't know their stuff. And it's a gamble, but the thing is, you don't give up. You take your denial to someone else. If you have to you get second opinions and third opinions, and you say, okay, this was what I turned in. Are they right in denying me? Have an accredited agent, have an accredited attorney, have a veteran service organization look at it and make sure it was right. Because just because you get a denial from the VA does not mean it should have been denied.
Right. For our listening audience, Karen, those attorneys that might be seeking help or accessing VisPro, those individuals that might want to listen to your webinars, how can they do so?
Mm-hmm. They can contact us at our toll-free number is 866-869-2777. The website is info4vets.com. Mm-hmm. And we do sell the software to only professionals, attorneys, financial planners, case managers, assisted living facilities, home health services, anyone who works with seniors, but they must be professionals.
Okay, we certainly appreciate that. Let me ask one more question. Great conversation. Is there anything else that, in closing, that you'd like to say to the audience or bring forth to them?
Well, I just, you know, these benefits are out there, and people, I would urge the professionals who are listening, they're on every one of your intake forms. When you are interviewing your clients, whatever your professions, if you work with seniors, whatever your profession is, you need to have as part of your intake form, are you a veteran or are you the widow of a veteran? And if so, are you receiving benefits? And if they are a widow or a veteran, then you need to look at the possibility of them getting benefits, because those benefits can help pay for the home care and they can pay for the assisted living.
Yeah. Well, Karen, that's great information. I know we were talking before about having you back on the show once some clarification is made with some of the upcoming rulings. We certainly want to do that. I'd love to have you back in the fall, just as we approach Veterans Day. I think that would be a natural tie-in. We certainly appreciate you being with us. It was a great show.
Thank you. I appreciate
the
opportunity.
Well, that's it for today. We certainly want to thank our guest in Dallas, as well as Karen here in Atlanta. It was a great information. We want to thank our listeners who joined us today and remind them that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.